Senator Dale Fowler's on the other end of the line this morning. Dale, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Tom. Happy New Year to you and to your listening audience. I'm excited about 2019.
When do you get sworn in?
I get sworn in Wednesday.
What time?
The 101st General Assembly will be sworn in on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Excuse me, Wednesday
morning.
Yes, sir.
I'm kind of curious. After you and I talked on Friday, you said there was not going to be a session, and then you said then there was. John Cullerton called in. So will you be in session today or tomorrow?
Well, we were actually to be in session today and tomorrow in lame duck, Tom. But then Senator Cullerton canceled those 2 days. And then last week he sent a new memo out that he canceled today, but he's bringing us in tomorrow. So we will be in session tomorrow and then sworn in on Wednesday.
Is the House going to be in session, or do you know tomorrow?
I'm not real sure on the House. I think that's subject to change.
Right.
I'm not sure what their schedule. It's been kind of a sporadic and unpredictable of what's going to be going on in the next couple of days. But but he changed his mind and did a reschedule memo and bring this in tomorrow. So ready to work.
Any idea why?
We do not know. We have not been notified. Leader Brady contacted me last week, or he contacted our members and said that once we go in and they gavel us in tomorrow, and then we will go into caucus, and then we will discuss what the subject matter is going to be, or what bills may be produced or introduced. So I'm not sure, Tom. Kind of remains to be seen, so we're a little bit in the dark on this. But
we'll
see how it goes.
I'm a multitasker, so while I was sending a text to Representative David Severin, he sent me a text. Before I got to push press, even send, he says the House is in session today at noon. This is from Illinois State Representative David Severin.
Okay, so they didn't cancel their day today, but ours was. So.
Well, and I asked some people about this last week because I had seen several articles that J.B. Pritzker would sign into law the law that Governor Rauner vetoed, and that was the gun shop legislation, and that he was going to. And I'm like, and I asked several people, and I said, I don't think you can do that. And other people says, yes, you can. And so I guess that's the question du jour, I guess.
Right, there'll have to be a new legislation, introduced, and that could be part of the equation tomorrow, Tom.
Right.
But that all remains to be seen.
What has the environment been like when you have been working with the transition group with the and you're working with economic development and employment? What's the environment been like, and what progress have you seen? What type of relationship is developing there with the Pritzker administration and you?
It's been quite an honor, actually, Tom, and it's been an aggressive transition committee. I was appointed to the Job Creation and Economic Opportunity Committee, and we've met on three different occasions in Chicago within the last month, and then last week we met in Champaign. And it's been a very aggressive committee, and then also we were assigned to some subcommittees, and I was actually assigned to the Vocational Training and Workforce Development Subcommittee as well, as a spinoff to the Job Creation Committee. So it's been very aggressive. It's been a great eye-opener for me, but it's also been a great opportunity to continue my initiative of developing the relationships, especially with my colleagues in Chicago, the business community in Chicago. There's only about three legislators that are even on the transition committee, but a lot of different sectors are on it, and so they've given me an opportunity to express my concerns and my issues that I have in my district. And I've told them when I stand up and speak to the committee that, I'm going to be selfish to my district when I'm speaking to you, because I have to tell you a little bit about what's going on. It's been really an eye-opener to them, and I really appreciate that. So it's been an honor. I'm actually leaving for Chicago here in a few minutes, heading back up. Governor-elect Pritzker and Lieutenant-elect Juliana Stratton is going to be addressing all of the transition committees tonight. So I'm excited about that, to be there tonight to see what's said amongst all the transition committees. And then our committee report is scheduled to be released sometime about the middle of the month, Tom. So I'm excited to see that report. And, it's been a great honor. It's been a great honor to serve and to be able to continue to develop the relationships which is I really tried hard to do in my first 2 years as being a state senator.
Well, you know, I get very much the impression that J.B. Pritzker and his administration very much wants to hit the ground running. And the reason why I say this is because we've got a lot of problems to run at. And, you know, and you've often used the metaphor, we have a big ship, it's hard to turn it when it comes to change. But you very much get the idea that J.B. Pritzker is already digging his heels in and is ready to go on day one.
Absolutely. They're ready to go to work. When we was in Champaign last week on this transition committee, his team says, you know, of course, Governor-elect Pritzker, he'll be sworn in on the 14th. And day one, we're off to work, and he wants us all to be involved. He's asked me to kind of be a liaison for Southern Illinois, which I'm excited to do. He's noticed a lot of the work that's gone on with the Hardin County Work Camp and the Golconda Job Corps and the Rent Lake and tourism and everything that we're trying to do. So he told me when I spoke with him last couple weeks ago, he said, you know, Senator, you're going to get tired of seeing me. And I said, no, sir, you're going to get tired of me before I get tired of you. So we'll see how it goes. So I'm excited.
Well, I have had members of elected office say that they've had more conversations with J.B. Pritzker as governor-elect than they had as Rauner in the 4 years of his term.
I've had four really good conversations. I've had a lengthy telephone conversation with him a month ago when he asked me to join his team, and then I've had three face-to-face really good conversations, and I'm excited to speak with him tonight. And he's you know, and what's really encouraging, Tom, is as you've kind of alluded to, is he's really taking a bipartisan initiative here to include, you know, those on the opposite side of the aisle. And I so appreciate that, because when it's all said and done, you know, the elections are over, the smoke is cleared, it's time for all of us to dig our heels in and our toes in and get to work. And I really appreciate that he's including us in this initiative, and he's recognizing what's going on in Southern Illinois, and he wants to help Southern Illinois. So I'm going to give him that opportunity to do so.
All right. And because you know, you're an optimistic sort of guy. You always have been. Since I've known you, you've always been an optimist. I, on the other hand, am not. And when I see the nature of the problems, I find, and I think I'm probably not the only one listening to you this morning, Senator, and going, with the problems that we have and the prospect of progressive taxes, higher taxes for some people, you know, and some other issues that have been brought up and people are concerned about, gun rights under the new administration, especially with a supermajority in the legislation and all state offices in the Democratic Party, some conservative people struggle with the prospect of optimism when J.B. Pritzker, because of the very principles like, well, progressive taxes.
That's exactly right. And we have not seen, he has not released the numbers yet of exactly what the progressive tax will look like or be. If it's brought into place, but I'm anxious to see what it will be. If it's not something that's going to be havoc to and detriment to the middle class, if it is going to be taxing the rich, then we'll take a good strong look at it. But if it affects the middle class, then I just can't be supportive of that. And one thing that we're going to do, and he and I have already discussed this, after he's sworn in, of course, you can imagine what his life's going to be like, especially the first few weeks in his transition. But he is off and running, and he and I are going to sit down, and we're going to talk about Southern Illinois. He said he wants to come down here, and he wants to see our some of the ground he hasn't had an opportunity to see and meet some of the people. And one thing in the transition committee meeting, one of the meetings we talked about, when they were talking about increasing the minimum wage, Tom, I said, you know, I spend a lot of time in Chicago, especially as I become a member of this transition team, and our daughter lives in Chicago, so we're up there visiting quite a bit, and I stay downtown, and I walk downtown quite a bit. I said, one thing, you know, I caught myself doing as I'm walking around town was to look for unoccupied storefronts, and they're hard to find downtown Chicago. I said, come down to Southern Illinois, and you'll find yourself looking for occupied storefronts. So that's a big difference, and it really kind of got their attention.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's I'm here for my district. I was elected for my district, but as I mentioned, he and I are going to sit down. I'm a compromise kind of guy, and I'm an optimistic kind of guy. I want to capitalize on the resources we have to offer here in Southern Illinois, which is tremendous, as we all know, and try to grow on it.
A couple of business points I want to touch on with you. First off, the business issue of the Hardin County Work Camp. We saw some movement there. What's its status? What's next?
Absolutely. The governor's office called me on Friday of last week and they were they thought that he was probably going to sign the legislation for the transfer of the Hardin County Work Camp from the Illinois Department of Corrections to the County of Hardin, but he has decided that he's going to wait till Tuesday or Wednesday, so they're going to sign this legislation. But he has approved it. He is going to sign the bill for the conversion. So I'm excited for Hardin County. I'm excited to be able to repurpose this facility that needs to be utilized. Sheriff Fricker and his team has done a great job with their business plan, and I'd also like to give a shout out to State Representative Natalie Phelps Finney for carrying this legislation in the House of Representatives to be able to get this through in the waning hours of the last spring session, so that Hardin County can move through. And I also want to say thank you to Senator Cullerton, because he didn't have to move this legislation. I said spring session. I apologize, veto session. He didn't have to move this legislation through veto session, but he did it as a favor to me. We know it's important to go ahead and move forward with this. Let's get it over with. Let's get this bill passed. We can transfer this property. So I really appreciate him letting us do this in veto session.
You just mentioned something a moment ago, and it kind of jumped out at me. You said something about the Golconda Job Corps. My last memory of that was shut down.
That's exactly right, Tom. But we have some companies that are very interested in the Job Corps. In fact, we have a company that was going to be flying in this Friday to make a full presentation for the takeover of the Job Corps. But unfortunately, due to the government shutdown, the Forestry Service and the Department of Labor has to be involved in this, of course. And because of the government shutdown, we had to cancel that meeting. So they're actually going to be coming in next week anyway, because they're making some other they're looking at some possible housing investment in Caro as well. So, you know, we have to, until the government's back to work, we're going to have to kind of postpone our initiative on this. But it's very encouraging. We have actually two companies that are looking at a possible takeover of the Job Corps to get this beautiful, amazing campus back in operation and be able to utilize it to the abilities that it needs. And the opportunities. And this company is very serious. It would be mental health treatment, crisis stabilization, family support and training, individual therapy, vocational training and skills training. And so very, very encouraging if we can get this done. So been working really closely with Congressman Shimkus and Senators Durbin and Duckworth's office. Everyone's involved in this. Everyone's on the same page. So we'll see where it goes.
All right. So this is a drug treatment center. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, it could be. Yes, that's part of the initiative. Mental health, drug treatment.
But privately owned.
Medication management. It's a not-for-profit organization that's actually looking at it, Tom. They've flown in on three different occasions. They made a presentation. It's been about a month ago now, and then they put their full package together, their proposal for the takeover, and that's what this meeting Friday was going to be. But unfortunately, as I mentioned, due to the government shutdown, we had to cancel the meeting. So, but the proposal is being distributed.
The reason why I asked is a friend of mine and a listener to this radio station for years reached out to me. They had a problem with finding a treatment center for their son. And whenever I started helping and looking for them a treatment center and a place where he'd go to get some help, he's a nice young man. I've known him for many years. I like him. And he was sick, and I wanted to see him get well. And what turned out was there weren't a lot of options. I mean, I fully expected it, you know, that after a few phone calls I'd be able to make some headway, and I couldn't. And that's one of the things that perked my ears up is, you know, there are not a lot of beds for treatment when it gets this, and then when there are, they're real expensive. So I was kind of curious about this. Another issue, you and I talked about this once, a businessman trying to bring some new business into Caro. But, you know, what's next for Caro? Because this is some place that you've been working very hard on. Have you got anything else in the process that you're working on when it comes to the Caro?
Yes, as far as the Riverport Terminal, we were able to receive the $1 million in the FY19 budget to start the permitting and design of the terminal. That is moving forward as we speak. So that's very exciting. It's going to, you know, the permitting is going to take several months, but we're meeting with architects, engineers, designers, people that want to invest in the terminal. So that ball has continued to move forward. We're really excited about that. We have an opportunity to develop some new housing in Caro as well. They are going to be demolishing, HUD's going to be demolishing the McBride and Elmwood buildings, you know, that were vacated. Those buildings are going to be demolished. That property is going to be put up for sale. And there is some individuals, some companies, and some contractors that are interested in bidding on that property to be able to build some new Section 8 housing. And there's other Section 8 housing that's in the process of being built now in Caro. As we've talked about previously on the show a few weeks ago, there is some new businesses coming to Caro. They're actually starting a renovation on the strip mall that's there in Caro next week to get some of those new businesses up and going. So, you know, it's encouraging for the town. Long way to go. It's been a struggle, but we have continued to persevere and move forward with, you know, development of the town and the county, and as well as we mentioned about the Job Corps. And then when you put Hardin County Work Camp on top, you know, of all this as well, you know, there's some good things going on in Southern Illinois.
Yeah. Do you have any friends that have left Illinois and said, "I'm leaving, I'm getting out"?
I do. I actually have some neighbors that have left. Had one that left a couple years ago. I've had others that have mentioned that they're definitely considering especially when they retire. As you know, Tom, we lost 45,000 more citizens in the state of Illinois last year,
right,
in FY18. And so, you know, we have to do something to stop this out migration. We got to get our property taxes under control. We got to create opportunity. There's no reason with the resources we have in Southern Illinois, the beauty, and I talk about this all the time, Tom. You've heard me say it so many times. You're probably tired of me saying it. We live in some of the most gorgeous country in the entire Midwest. We have an incredible workforce. We have an incredible university. We have, you know, the confluence of the Mississippi and Ohio. We have beautiful lakes and everything we have to capitalize on this. So we have to really start marketing, and that's something that we're really going to be working hard on in 2019, is marketing Southern Illinois to our surrounding states. That, we want in migration. We have to stop the out migration. That's going to be difficult, but we do that by creating opportunity, becoming more business competitive, and trying to bring more businesses in. And there's some companies looking at us, but we've got a long way to go. There has been some improvements in our workers' compensation insurance. That's we've got a long way to go on that, but we just have to continue to try to promote what we have and just continue to work hard and try to get people to come into our area.
You've been also setting a new date for Southern Illinois Made at the. Are you going to do it at the Marion Pavilion again this year? Are you doing it again?
Absolutely. We have, the week after Southern Illinois Made last July, Tom, we started meeting. In fact, we have a conference call this morning after you and I hang up with my communication staff and outreach staff and my district staff about SI Made. It's set for July the 27th and 28th of this year at the Pavilion again. Probably you can go to simade.org for more information. Priority registration is going to begin February 1st. It's going to run through the 15th for the vendors and the companies that participated last year, because that's one of the first things they said when they completed the survey. What do we do to sign up for next year?
Right.
What do we do? So yeah, That's going to be opened up. And then after the 15th, we're going to be looking at additional Southern Illinois Made manufactured companies. We're going to be able to bring in about 20 more companies than what we had last year. So that's exciting. And as you well know, Tom, this is all in support of Honor Flight and our veterans organization. We raised just under $30,000 for Honor Flight, and we have more companies that are wanting to sponsor. And as you know, we had 2,000 people that came through the doors in those 2 days last year. So it was exciting. And I want to say thank you to River Radio. You guys were amazing helping us get the word out. Really appreciate your support in that and this coming year. And it's going to be amazing. And a lot of these companies, Tom, have established contracts from the Southern Illinois Made Expo that we had last year. I've met with many of the companies, and they said they can't wait to do it again. Their business is growing, and that's what it's all about, is promoting all these incredible companies we have here in Southern Illinois, because we have so many, and you don't really know that until all of a sudden you start putting them under one roof, Tom.
Right.
And it was absolutely amazing what we have to offer here in Southern Illinois, and we have a lot more as well.
I'm always amazed by it, too. Senator Dale Fowler,
yep.
Going to be a busy, busy week in Springfield. Don't know what we're going to see accomplished in the lame duck session, but we'll listen closely to the ground, because what we're going to be hearing is a tone shift for the entire state of Illinois. I've not had it confirmed yet, but at this time, Governor Bruce Rauner is scheduled to join us tomorrow morning at 8:20 here at News Radio WJPF. Senator Dale Fowler. Dale, last thoughts from Springfield and Chicago, as the case may be. What are you thinking for? Anything that you and I didn't talk about? Any other surprises coming our way, things we should know?
Well, I don't know about any surprises other than we just got a lot of work to do. It's going to be a very interesting year, Tom. There's going to be a lot of difficult decisions that are going to need to be made, a lot of difficult votes. And as I've always pledged, I'm going to vote my district. I had to vote against Governor Rauner on some of his wishes last session, but it was the right vote for my district, and I will continue to do so. We have to continue to work toward vocational training in our schools to teach our kids and give these kids some opportunity that may not want to go to college, because we're going to have vocational jobs. I think that's going to be something we're going to be able to really expound upon, especially if we can get this Job Corps open back up and do some vocational training there as well. So, it's going to be an interesting year. I'm looking forward to it, and I just want to say thank you to everyone that supported me, and it's an honor to serve the state of Illinois. It's an honor to serve the 59th District, and I'll just continue to do my best, Tom. Appreciate everyone.